What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and one of the original members of the show today, John Kegley, and we have a fun one for you guys today. But first, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. I also write for the LA Football Network, and we all three do our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which is how we've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons, and this is our third season now as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, I told you we had a fun show planned for you today, and we do because we have the response from Lamb Locked. So if you haven't seen it because there was a very profanity-laden video that came along with this surprise that we aren't able to post, but John had a little present for the cursed one, Lamb Locked, and we get his reaction at the end of the show doing some fan voicemails. So we'll get into that at the end of the show, but we're going to start the show with Anthony Lynn commenting on the new Rooney rules of the NFL and also talking again about why the team did not sign Cam Newton, as well as in the second segment of the show, getting into some training camp battles. So on today's show, it's a little early for training camp battles. We don't even know if there is a training camp, but we are going to talk about just the starting spots that could be available if Justin Herbert actually has a chance to start week one and more in the second segment. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. In an interview over the weekend, Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn spoke out about the new proposal on the NFL's Rooney rules, as well as why the team didn't sign former MVP quarterback Cam Newton. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Last week, Jim Trotter reported that the NFL is making some proposals on changes to the Rooney Rule, which is trying to help minorities get major coaching jobs and executive jobs in the NFL. And the first of the new proposals was stopping the bans that caused coaches before to not be able to interview for offensive or defensive coordinator jobs or big-time coordinator jobs, as they put it. And Roger Goodell would be the one that gets to distinguish what those major jobs are. And the second one that came with many issues was the proposal that teams could potentially move up in the draft 6 spots in the third round for a minority head coach, 10 spots in the third round for a minority general manager, and potentially 16 spots even moving up into the second round if they were to hire a minority head coach and general manager. So, David, there were many people that took exception to this, and specifically Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn, who is one of 3 African-American head coaches in the NFL right now. And what he had to say was, I think sometimes you can do the wrong thing while trying to do the right thing. So I think Anthony Lynn is going to be somewhat reserved about this, but I think he's absolutely right. Even if they had the best intentions, this is a bad look for the league.
I agree with Anthony Lynn's comments that I think their heart was in the right place for the most part and trying to get more opportunities for minority coaches, but I don't think this was the right way to go about it. He also added some comments afterwards saying, I think there are a lot of qualified African-American coaches that could be a head coach in this league, and I just pray that we do our due diligence and give these guys an opportunity. There are some qualified applicants, and they need an opportunity, and think this is out of desperation. This is something that has been thrown out there. And when you look at a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, who just came off of winning a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, he didn't even get a real opportunity out there to become a head coach after authoring one of the most prolific offenses in NFL history. It's just a shame. I think they need to do something about this, but I don't know if this is exactly the right way to go about it, Daniel.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely not the right way to go about it. And I think what causes this is just the fact that the NFL is filled with so many minority players that you would think they would have more representation in the coaching staffs and in front offices. When you see the fact that only 3 of the major openings in the NFL out of the last 20 have been given to minority head coaches or general managers or coordinators, it means the way they're doing it right now is not working. So I think that it's good that this got leaked so they could see the kind of reaction that was going to happen and see how off base they are with it. And you have to hope that they can come up with something better to try to fix it. But one thing we also heard in Anthony Lynn's interview on CBS Sports Radio was him talking about quarterback Cam Newton, who is still a free agent. And when asked if they considered signing the former MVP, he said, absolutely, Cam is a tremendous quarterback. He's been the MVP of this league. He's led this team to a Super Bowl, and he's healthy now. from what I hear. Cam is going to be on somebody's roster and he's going to help somebody win a few games. But yeah, we did take a look at that for sure. So David, I know before we heard Anthony Lynn say that the team is going to explore all options, but it looks like this time he's actually saying, hey, we did have this discussion and we felt good about the guys that we had and didn't feel like we needed to bring him in.
It's interesting to get a little bit more clarity on the Cam Newton situation. We never knew if the Chargers had any legitimate interest in him, but it seems like they actually did kick the tires on potentially signing Cam Newton. But Anthony Lynn said that he is comfortable with the quarterback room that he has in place. He's happy with and comfortable with Tyrod Taylor. There's a lot of history there. He also spoke glowingly on Easton Stick, saying that he won 3 national championships at the Division I AA level. But the Chargers also add another quarterback in the first round of the 2020 NFL draft, 6th overall, when they selected Justin Herbert. So it makes you wonder what exactly the plan is going to be for Easton Stick. He also mentioned that he's going to be a great pro someday, but we don't know how that's going to come about. Justin Herbert was drafted where he was. He's going to get every opportunity to start. And it seems like Easton Stick is on the trajectory to becoming a good NFL backup.
Right now, it's just hard to see the path that would end up with Easton Stick getting on the field. You would think Tyrod Taylor, something goes wrong midway through the season, they feel Justin Herbert is ready, that Justin Herbert would at least get the first crack on it. And they would be very invested since that's Tom Telesco's 6th overall pick. That quarterback is tied to not only Tom Telesco's job, but Anthony Lynn's job as well to some extent. So it'll be very interesting to see how it works out. But this is the first time we've really heard him talk so highly of Easton Stick and putting that out there that people are kind of sleeping on him. So we'll see what that means. We'll see if when preseason comes along, how they end up sending these guys out, what the depth chart will look like. And I think we'll get a little bit better of an idea then. And we'll see if he can capitalize and have more exciting plays like he did in 2019 in the preseason without all of the turnovers that are going to make it very tough on him to find playing time. But we do have 2 more segments to get into. Next, we are getting into some off-season training camp battles before getting to some fan voicemails and Lamb Locke's reaction to John Kegley's gift. But just like that, I'm getting hungry again already. And as I've told you guys before, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. So I thought, hey, doing this ad read, I might as well just break out a Built Bar so I can actually speak from my experience. So here we go. This is the peanut butter brownie flavor. All right, yeah, I mean, these are really good, guys. I mean, I really don't even know what to tell you other than if you want something that is healthy for you and tastes like a candy bar, Built Bar is what you want. And they come in 16 different flavors, 8 that are chocolate and nut flavors, and 8 that are chocolate and nut-free flavors. They're all 100% covered in chocolate, and they're all soft and easy to chew. So we have a special offer for you guys. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So we don't know when training camps are going to be. Obviously, it's a little bit early to start talking about them right now, but hey, it's the offseason. I think something that's always fun to talk about during the offseason are the offseason training camp battles, and we will get into more of the undrafted free agent guys after we break more of them down. We'll have more of those for you guys this Friday on Undrafted Free Agent Friday, but today we're going to be looking at the big picture of training camp battles, the kind of starting jobs that are up for grabs, and much more in this segment. So let's start with that, because I think that's, you know, going into training camp, it really, you know, they always talk about having competition at every position. But John, when you look at this team, what are the starting spots that you truly think somebody could actually go out there and take, or is actually kind of a toss up at this point that anyone can kind of win that job?
Well, I don't think there really is any job that's up for grabs, because we all know Anthony Lynn is stuck in his own ways. I think the only thing that you really need to be watching is the number 3 wide receiver spot. Is it going to be Joe Reed? Is KJ Hill going to step up and take that over? What's really going to happen? Because whoever takes that spot is going to decide how this offense is going to run. If they have Joe Reed, then you know this is going to be based on using everyone's athleticism to create a lot of options in one offense. You're going to have Joe Reed in the slot, and now you're going, okay, is he about to take a reverse and run, or is he about to take off running on a crossing route? Is he going to do a deep route? But if it's KJ Hill, you're going to be wondering what route he's going to run. You're not expecting him to do some reverses or anything special like that. You're thinking, is he about to go deep? Is he about to go on a quick out. Like, what is he going to do? That kind of stuff's going to decide what this offense does. That's where I'm really looking. But as far as offensive line goes, they're really big on Pipkins. I don't see them taking anybody else out of that. If it's the defensive line, they probably aren't going to be looking for anybody except for Linval Joseph. They signed the guys that they want to play, basically.
Right, and I think, I mean, obviously position battles go deeper than just the starting lineup. And I think for the receivers, for that wide receiver three job, I think one question that pops up is, these guys are later round picks at receiver. First of all, we don't even see those guys making the roster every time those guys are picked there. I think both of these guys will end up making the roster just because of the lack of depth at the position for the Chargers. But you have to wonder if, you know, maybe Andre Patton still comes out as the number three receiver this year, just because we've seen how loyal this team is and how much they want to try to develop these guys before they get on the field, and how much it takes for them to let guys just go out there and get playing time right away. We don't always see that. You have to really prove it to this coaching staff and prove that somebody else shouldn't be out there. I'd like to think there's still a competition at left tackle, David, just because, I mean, even say, you know, I don't want Sam Tevy out there. I think I'd probably rather roll with Trey Pipkins. But at the same time, I mean, that's not really saying very much. I mean, that's not a huge vote of confidence. I mean, Forrest Lamp I'd be good with too. So I think for that one, you hope it's an open competition for a starting spot, because even if Pipkins has to develop another year, that's not the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world. But I think what you hope for is just that guys are healthy and that they can actually go out there and put their best foot forward and really show everybody what they're capable of doing when they have no other restrictions. I'm speaking obviously pretty exclusively about Forrest Lamp here, but all of these guys, a lot of names have been thrown out for positions on the left side of the offensive line and even the middle. I mean, You got an update from Mike Pouncey, but who knows if he's going to get cleared by the Chargers doctor. So there might be a competition there. They might have Questenberry there. They might have Dan Feeney there. They might have Dan Feeney at guard. They might have Questenberry at guard. They even threw Trent Scott's name in the mix of potentially moving inside to guard. So there's a lot of positions that are open there on the offensive line. I would like to see a true competition. I want the best guys out there. I would like to see the Chargers coaching staff move away from favorites. Hopefully James Campen will bring that and say, hey, these are the guys that I think should be starting out there, and hopefully those are the best guys. But another position group I think is going to be a little bit interesting that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is linebacker. I think Kenneth Murray, Drew Tranquil, and Denzel Perriman might have a really, really awesome camp battle to see who is actually going to go out there and be the starting linebackers when the season starts.
Yeah, I think that Kenneth Murray, there's a chance that he doesn't start at will, but I think right now they've talked about Kenneth Murray playing will and then Drew Tranquil and Denzel Perriman kind of battling it out there. So I think if it's the will linebacker position, I think that's kind of where they envision Nick Vigil right now. So maybe it's a competition between those two guys, but I think there's definitely a chance we could see a new starter at left guard. I don't think that's a long shot by any means, but at least you have to have some hope that James Campen is just going to put those guys out there. Like you said, you have to hope that he actually sees the best guys that are there, even though we know there's not a ton of high draft picks involved in that room right now. But you have to hope that he's not going to play any favorites. He doesn't have any preconceived notions about this team right now, and he's just going to play the best five guys out there and the guys that have the best chemistry amongst them. So
I have a kind of an idea of what could be a camp battle. Since we lost Nick DeZuner and Derek Watt, what about special teams? I mean,
sure.
A lot of undrafted free agents, that's even Mohi Gilman being drafted as well from Notre Dame. Those guys have to be a camp battle to watch, because whoever takes that spot has lately been the unsung hero, if you will, of the team, because they don't do anything else but play that special teams role, but they do it really well. And it's been preventing the Chargers from giving up big returns and stuff the past few years.
They've been much better on coverage over the last few seasons, and that has killed them in so many other seasons. But the last kind of big picture thing I want to talk to you guys about is just the question of, do we think the Chargers are actually going to give Justin Herbert a chance to start week one? Because we've heard them say it's going to be a competition. That's all we hear from them. But do we actually believe there's a scenario that doesn't involve injury, knock on wood, obviously, but that Justin Herbert can play so well in what we think is going to be a limited offseason that he comes out week one as the starter?
Honestly, no. I think right now with all the obstacles that are in place, we don't even know if there's going to be an offseason. So that's going to lean in favor to all of the veterans that are on the team right now. All those guys, the coaching staff already knows what those guys bring to the table. They know what they're capable of doing, what they've done. They've shown that. The rookies, they're at a distinct disadvantage, and all the undrafted free agents, like Anthony Lynn mentioned, that it might be difficult for some of those guys to make the team because their time that they are allotted to actually try out and show what they can do is going to be cut significantly short. So I don't see a scenario in which Justin Herbert is the starting quarterback week one, because there's just too many things in this current day and age that are in front of him that are going to prevent him from being the starter.
John, would you agree with that? Do you think there's any shot we see him as the starting quarterback week one?
There is no chance he's the starter week one. With this whole virus going around, even if the season was to start on time, training camp is just going to be not the same training camp. You're not going to have your early workouts.
It's impossible to think things are going to go back to normal.
You're not going to get the early workouts that you would get this year where you get a chance to gel with some of your guys.
Rookie mini camp is online right now.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many things that you're going to be missing out on. The Chargers have already come out and say they're not rushing Herbert into the starting lineup either. There's just no way he's going to be the starter. He would have to somehow, some way during training camp, if there is actually a training camp in August, just blow everyone's minds and make them go, this is it. This is the guy. He's ready. But right now, we're not even that big on him. Let alone, I'm pretty sure the coaching staff's not big on him starting yet, but they want to develop him because they believe his ceiling is high. And if you rush that development, you're going to destroy his whole career. So I believe Tyrod will be starter week one, 100%. I will take that to Vegas.
I think that's a safe bet in Vegas. I don't think you're going to get – I think the Vegas odds, last time I checked, basically odds makers are saying that they have Tyrod Taylor basically with a 75% chance to be the starting quarterback week one when the Chargers break their first huddle. So I think we're kind of all on the same page in that. I just think if he was a more finished product, it's a conversation. You know, if it's Joe Burrow, it's a conversation. If it's Tua, if he's totally healthy and there's nothing that's going to make any difference between now and whenever you're going to decide to start it, I think it's a conversation. With Justin Herbert specifically, this guy has a chance to be good, but you're going to have to do it the right way, and it still might not work out. But you have to at least attempt to do it the right way, have him get totally caught up, and I just think that's just the right way to do it.
And I think it's also the fact that it's Tyrod Taylor versus Justin Herbert. If it was Justin Herbert versus Easton Stick, we're not having this conversation. We're saying Justin Herbert is the starter unless they just say, screw it, we're going to give him 3 weeks to mold a little bit more, let Easton Stick just go out there and embarrass himself so we can say, look, see, he's not a starting quarterback. No excuses now.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. It's a totally different conversation. And then if Easton Stick was the starter week one in a competition with Justin Herbert, that would look really bad on Justin Herbert. It doesn't look bad on him if he loses this position battle, I'm using air quotes, to Tyrod Taylor, because that's what everyone expects to happen. And it doesn't really necessarily shine a negative light on Herbert. But I just don't think it's going to happen. But
no offense to Easton Stick either, but Justin Herbert's just the bigger, stronger version of Easton Stick.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some kind of things, but the one thing that this coaching staff loves is leadership and winning games, and that's one thing Easton Stick did a lot more of in college than Justin Herbert did. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's the reveal, the response from the cursed one, Lamlock, and the gift from John Kegley coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We have heard a response and a voicemail from the cursed one, Lamlock. If you are new to the show, there's one single fan in the Chargers fan base that has single-handedly cursed this team. And it's been proven scientifically on many different occasions, many different games we tested, if he's watching, if he's not watching. Now, he has taken his fandom to Indianapolis to follow new Colts quarterback Phillip Rivers, former Chargers quarterback. And we are a pro-Phillip Rivers, pro-Colts podcast as far as that's concerned. But John, you had to send Lamlock a little special, a little going away present, if you will, from the Chargers fan base to, you know, keep his legacy going on somewhere else.
Yes, I I went on to eBay and I decided to look up some number 17 Colts jerseys that were decently cheap. And I found an Austin Collie one for about $28. And then I went to a friend of mine that owns a shirt shop that can print things, and she put a patch on the back over the word collie and put the curse. So it's a blue Indianapolis Colts number 17 jersey with the curse as the name, and I mailed it to Lamblock.
And yes, and he has it.
And he has it now. He was always talking about the Phillip Rivers jersey that he has is the cursed jersey, because if he wears the jersey, it's the one that makes us lose. And I'm like, no, bro, it's the fact that you watch the game and wear the jersey that makes you lose. So now you get to curse the Colts fan base with a number 17, the curse jersey. And I even posted this on Facebook, and somebody commented saying, no, bro, you need to get out of this fan base and take that somewhere else. We're just now starting to get good.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, and I think Lamblock touches on that. This is the moment you've been waiting for. Let's hear the response.
Hey, man. It's Lamblock, the curse, as you guys call me. Just want to give a shout-out to John Kegley for that curse of the Rivers Colts jersey. I appreciate that. It's been a minute since I called, you know. Maybe John is right. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe I'm the curse, you know, ever since I left. And the team, I've seen all these moves. Trash-ass players like Travis Benjamin and Thomas Davis are gone. I'm like, where was this when I was there? And offensive line looked a lot better and deep. And they got Chris Hedges Jr., the secondary looking like probably the best in the league. I'm like, man, dude. And it probably got new uniforms, probably the best uniforms I've ever seen. Like, where was this when I was there? Anyways, once the Chargers picked up, what's his name? Zay Simmons from the draft. But they got the quarterback. I'm not really a fan of him. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore, but we'll see, because I don't think he's good enough to start over Tyree Taylor. So we'll see. We'll see what Herbert does. But I want to know what you guys think about that. You guys think y'all will see Herbert this season at all? I don't think we'll see him. But hey, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward, to listening to you guys more often. And Colts up, actually Colt up. Anyways. Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course he wants to thank John Kegley, but I think this is the first time I think we've beaten Lamblock into submission. Also, Lamblock is a part of the armed services, and we definitely want to give a huge shout out for that. And we don't take any joy in this and having to send him away like this. If there was any other option, we wouldn't do it. But, they got rid of Travis Benjamin, the real TB12 this offseason. They got rid of Thomas Davis. He talks about all the guys they brought in. And then he wants to know, what if they got Isaiah Simmons over Tyrod Taylor? That's not your concern now, Lamblock. You're over there with the Indianapolis Colts now. But I can tell he's definitely been listening still, which is weird for a Colts fan. I like what you did there with the bolt-up, Colt-up thing. I get it. We're not anti-Phillip Rivers, John, but it was weird to see Lamblock, maybe taking a little responsibility for what he's done to this organization.
Well, the military can do good things to bad people. They learned it taught him to take responsibility for all his mistakes and the things he messed up. He kept denying that he wasn't the curse. And the next thing you know, he goes to basic training, becomes part of the army, and now he accepts full responsibility. You are now a man. Lamblock, congratulations. Now it's time for you to do us all a favor and make the Colts be a little bit cursed. Help us out here a little bit. Give us that one extra slot above somebody for a chance at the wild card.
Yeah, and I don't even want the Colts to be cursed. I just want him to take it elsewhere. I mean, if he could take it to the Patriots, I mean, I can't force him to be a Patriots fan. I just can't do it. So I think this is the best case scenario.
If he cursed the Patriots, we would worship him.
I mean, that's like really the only way to actually truly bring him down is something as supernatural as the curse of Lamblock. But Lamblock, thanks for listening, man. Excited to hear your voice again. Thanks for calling in a response. But we do have a couple more voicemails to get into. This one is from Chargers Nerd. Let's see what he has for us this week.
Hi, Dan, Dave, and John. This is Daniel. Glad to be calling in again after letting things sink in a bit and letting you guys catch up with all the calls, which I enjoy hearing. And I've certainly appreciated all the interactions on Twitter. I do think we see now basically what the team will be this year. I think Jason Peters will be this year's Jonathan Hankins. We'll follow him all summer, but he'll go somewhere else. Hopefully I'm wrong, but it is what it is. We wanted Tua, but now we fully support Herbert. We want Peters, but I think we'll fully support Pipkins or Lamp, even Tevi. I will predict here that the Chargers use the remaining cap space to bring back Damian Square at a depth corner if no UDFA works out. and sign some final depth piece at a position that we don't really identify as a particular need because of inscrutable Chargers logic. So my question is this. How do you guys think the Chargers view this offseason in the 3 to 5 year picture? I think they certainly are trying to win this year, but I'm not fully convinced that they are all in just because they are taking risks with their development guys. So do you think that they think that they are all in this year because they have wildly high confidence in their Davis, Jenkins, Pipkins, Feeney, Lamp type development guys? Or do you think that they see this as a sort of compromise to build a winning culture now, but ultimately go all in with Herbert somewhere in the next 2 to 3 years? Thank you, friends, and go Bolts, and also Rivers on the Colts.
All right. Well, if you don't know Chargener, this is Daniel Paylor. Another really good call, and I 100% agree on the Jason Peters thing. I mean, there's always a sliver of a chance that it happens, but this is what we were saying about Jonathan Hankins, of course. The same thing with, you know, you want to, you get Herbert. I totally agree with all of that, but I think it is a good question, and I think you brought up a good point about the guys they're going to sign. If they could bring in a guy at corner, that's a depth piece that could maybe turn into more. That's really good. Damian Square, I'm all for that. But trying to figure out what this team's plan is, David, is where it gets a little stickier, because in my eyes, this is a win-now roster. You are loaded at a lot of positions. You have a top-flight defense, potentially. You know, we have to see how it all gels. But you have a lot of ingredients to a winning team right now. But you don't have a really true difference maker at quarterback. I think that's the best way, because I don't want to say you don't have a good veteran, because I do think Tyrod Taylor is a good veteran at quarterback. But you don't think that Tyrod Taylor is going to lead you to a Super Bowl. You think if this team makes it, it's because Tyrod Taylor didn't lose them games. Probably not because he didn't win you games. So I think that's why it's a little bit confusing, because are you rebuilding? Are you reloading? And I think we see Tom Telesco here, David, trying to reload. And I think the 3 to 5 year plan, the only problem I have with it is if you really are trying to keep this core together, why haven't we not seen an extension put into place for Keenan Allen? Why have we not seen an extension for Joey Bosa? Or even a restructure of Casey Hayward, and maybe you add another year onto the end of his deal and move some money around. But it's really hard to kind of balance this line, but I think that's really what this is they are reloading, and I think they are just planning on, you know, having a really good team to try to capitalize on when Justin Herbert, you know, matures enough to take over.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the moves that they made. You first look at their free agency, and you say, okay, well, I think they're just reloading on quality veterans. They brought in Brian Bulaga, who's going to solidify the right side of the line. They brought in Linval Joseph, who's going to be a force in the middle of the defensive line. They brought in Chris Harris Jr., which they already had an embarrassment of riches in the secondary, and they just add another quality veteran to that. So they're definitely reloading in those moves. But then you look at the draft, and then I think they're preparing in that 3 to 5 year plan guys they think are going to help them take the Chargers into the future, like Justin Herbert, like Joe Reed, like KJ Hill. Those type of guys they believe are going to be complements to each other and take them into the next era of Chargers football.
I mean, that has to be the goal, and I think 3 to 5 years, that's about the time it's going to take for you to have a decent sample size, hopefully at that point, of what Justin Herbert is. So I think that's about when you'll know. And maybe you're right, Daniel. Maybe they really do think with Tyrod Taylor he can lead them to a championship, because they have such, you know, high regards for guys like Trey Pipkins and Dan Feeney and Rayshon Jenkins. Maybe that is the case. You have to hope not, but I mean, hopefully Rayshon Jenkins, if they're moving him around, it means at least somebody else is getting some time at free safety, which at the end of the day, I think is what we want. But I thought you made some really good points, Daniel. Call in anytime. We love having you call. So let's get to the last call. This is Vinny from Ashburn, Virginia, asking a hot question.
Hey, guys. It's Vinny calling from Ashburn, Virginia again. So my question today is, are Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco on the hot seat this year? And if you believe they are or aren't, what record do you think would take them off of that hot seat? I personally don't believe that an 8-8 season will do it. I mean, based off of our schedule, we got to play some tough games, some tough away games. I know we got that ASAP motto, but that doesn't pay, you know, that doesn't defeat the fact that we're playing some very difficult teams. Big fan. Love the show, guys. Thank you.
So we talk about hot seats all the time, and I'll give my answer after you guys. John, when you're looking at this and the current situation that this team is in, having a young quarterback, having, you know, Tyrod Taylor for this season, and having a coaching staff that's coming off of a 5-11 season, and a general manager that put that team together, do you think they're on the hot seat, and what record do you think they would have to keep their jobs?
I don't think they're on the hot seat. I think they were before the draft. If they would have kept Phillip Rivers, I think they would have probably still been on the hot seat, because it would have been, you did nothing to get a younger QB in. You're not showing any chances of turning this team into a contender for the near future. But since the draft, they drafted Justin Herbert, and they had a huge offseason with the free agents. I believe the hot seat cooled down a little bit. But if they somehow, some way, by the next 2 years do not show any improvement, and they're still a under 500 team, then I think they're fired even without a hot seat type of feeling.
And I think the thing is like, how long do they get just because they drafted a rookie quarterback? Because I think even if, you know, Justin Herbert starts 16 games in the 2021 season, I think it's still going to be hard to tell, you know, if he's going to be able to lead the team to a winning year in his first year. So I think it's just, how long do you wait? How much benefit of the doubt do you give these two guys if they keep putting out losing seasons, David?
Yeah, I mean, this is a business of what have you done for me lately, and the Chargers are coming off of a 5-11 season. There's no other way around that. But also, you have to read the climate of current events. I mean, right now, with all the COVID-19 stuff, you just have no idea what this offseason or what the season is going to look like at all. So, honestly, this season, I don't think the record's going to make a difference whatsoever on what the Chargers ownership decides to do with these two. I think because of those circumstances, they're going to get this year at least. And I think, honestly, they're going to have two more years after that before they're going to make any type of moves. Now, obviously, if they go 3-13, you know, in the second year, I would imagine that they're probably going to get fired. But unless that happens, I don't see it happening for 2 to 3 years. Dean Spanos is notorious for waiting sometimes maybe a little bit too long before making moves.
And I think you just have to be hopeful that Anthony Lynn was the right decision, and because you look at, you know, some of the more successful teams, Pittsburgh Steelers have Mike Tomlin, who's been around forever. Bill Belichick has been around forever. I mean, Sean Payton has been around forever. When you look at the teams that have had extended success over the years, a lot of those teams still have the same head coaches. Obviously, you have to get the right guy, but we all saw what happened with Justin Herbert, having to go through three head coaches at Oregon and how that stunted his development. And so the one thing you really don't want to do is do that. But at the same time, if you look at it and then they go 3-13 next season, there's a good chance Dean Spanos goes, you know, maybe this isn't the coaching staff that we need to be trying to make this guy into a starting quarterback. Maybe we need to get him into someone else's hands. And that's when things seem usually to start kind of slipping out of control. And then he's trying to learn a new offense after getting this one. And then all of a sudden he's Josh Rosen, right? And that's the last thing that you want to happen. But thank you to everyone who called in for today's voicemails. We'll definitely need some more voicemails for the rest of the week. We'll be getting back into those at some point this week. So if you want to get on the show, the number is 323-524-7924. And every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. We're basically caught up on all of the voicemails that would still make sense at this point. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify. We would really appreciate it. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow, though. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.